Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A certified mentor with New Jersey's Southeast Chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas.
Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. As the announcer said, I am your host, Michael Pappas. There is an endless number of lessons you can learn as a small business owner. In fact, each day there is probably something new that you learn or could be learning. When selling your business, it pays to learn lessons from others. Most business owners will not get a second chance to do it well. Selling your business is such an important process for your employees, your customers, and your own bank account. You want to maximize your chances of success. A few months ago, I had a guest, John Baruti. John is a fairly new mentor with the Southeast Chapter of SCORE. He has his own video blog on YouTube called Baruti's Success. On that show a few months ago, John gave me permission to use the audio from one of his blogs. It was called Steps to Selling Your Business. In reviewing John's blog, I came across another that I felt would benefit you, the listeners. It is called What I Learned from Selling My Businesses. I asked John, and he graciously allowed me to use the audio from that blog. Before you hear it, let me remind you about John Baruti. As I said, John is a fairly new SCORE mentor. He was a successful small business owner for over 30 years who successfully bought, built, and sold several businesses. As I mentioned earlier, John also has a YouTube channel called Baruti Success. On this channel, he discusses starting, growing, and exiting businesses. Now, here is John talking about what I learned from selling my businesses.
What's up, my friends? This is John Baruti from Baruti Success. This week, we're talking about the 10 lessons I got from selling my businesses. Stay tuned. My journey, since I've sold my businesses, is to make this work. That means focusing on stuff that I really like and to be specific. So I figure the process that I just went through in the last 2 years, selling the businesses, the wholesale bakery, and the ice cream store. Forget about the properties. We could probably discuss that on another day and channel, so on and so forth. But selling the businesses, I think I can give the most value to you, the entrepreneurs and business people that not only want information on how to run better companies and be better entrepreneurs and be better business people and better investors and so on and so forth, but since I have a little bit of an insight because I sold both of them, I think it would be great if I niche down into that area. You know, selling your business. How do you sell your business? How did it affect me? What are the 10 lessons that I got from selling my businesses? So on and so forth. The top 10 things I learned from selling my business. Number one, I'm not a retiring kind of guy. So those that know the channel know how I basically came to the determination of selling the businesses. I got cancer. I was told I don't have long to live. Get your affairs in order. I had thought about selling the businesses many times over the years, but that really catapulted me into saying I need to sell them. But now that I've sold them, I kind of knew this back then, and the fact that I no longer have cancer, they took all that out of me, so the whole TikTok thing to me dying is not so much anymore. Thank God for me. But now I have sold the businesses and I am semi-retired. I don't do good with semi-retired. I am a person that needs to be kept busy. I am a person that needs to strive to accomplish things. I am a person that enjoys making money. Sorry, but I do, right? We're in a capitalist society. I have no qualms with saying I like money and I like making it and I like figuring out how to make it. So what I learned, step one, I'm not a retiring kind of guy, thus coming to you on the YouTube with the channel. So I'm going to be figuring that out. Not a retiring kind of guy. It's okay, right, that I do retiree things, which is not working all day, so on and so forth, but not the retiring type of guy. Number two, don't kill me on this one, but kind of like what I just said, there's never enough money. If you make $70,000, you want to make $100,000. If you make $100,000, you want to make 500,000. If you make 500,000, so on and so forth, you want to make 5 million. You make 5 million, you want to make 10. You make 10, you want to make 100. So some of you were saying,
well, I don't care if I made $5,000 a year. I wouldn't want to make more.
Good for you, Sally. Good for you. I bet you would, though. I bet dollar donuts. If you made 5 million, you're like, I bet I could make 6 million next year. Fortunately, we're in America, and fortunately, this is a lot of how we think. So, there is a road to, for me, after, again, retiring, that I want to figure out, okay, I have a boatload of money in the bank. And some people that would see my bank account saying, John, what are you doing? Just go and drink a Mai Tai and sit next to the pool and so on and so forth. And for some of that, I do need to relax a little bit. But getting back to number two is there's never enough money. So, you know, I want to be able to make more. I don't want to touch the money that's in the bank. I don't want to burn through that. This is a whole nother conversation for another day. I do want to leave my kids a decent amount of money. I am worried about that. I did not get left money when I was young. I was fortunate as I got older that, you know, some relatives have left us money, which we're very fortunate, but I was able to figure that out because I was mature. So getting money young will be difficult for my kids, and I want to make sure I don't screw them up that way. So I have a beautiful wife, two terrific and gorgeous kids. So I want to learn how to relax more and give them more attention and spend more time with them. But in the same breath, I also want to learn how to, you know, take what I've done and earn more money. So I've learned, number two, that, it's never enough. And that sounds horrible, but I have no problem with that. I see it as, it's challenging myself. And listen, I'm having fun doing this, right? So as far as I'm concerned, I'm gonna move forward. We're gonna try to, you know, make more of it and go from there. That was number two. Number three. This one, it's kind of a play off the last one. Learning to relax. It's an issue, it's a problem. I'm just saying. So here's the thing. I don't have hobbies.
Nope.
I don't drink a lot. I don't do drugs, I've never done drugs. Kids, don't do drugs. Okay? I've never done them, and I can, you know, I'm not Bill Clinton, I can actually say I've never done drugs before, or at least illegal ones. I mean, you know, we've all been prescribed drugs from our doctors. Sorry, I regress. So, you know, as far as having other things to do than work, I don't have much. I've always enjoyed business, I've always enjoyed investing, I've always enjoyed talking about business. So, number three is I have to learn to relax. This is a difficult one. I have to practice every day. Not good at it, but I'm trying, okay? So that's number three. Number four. Now this goes back to being in business, and if I was to do it again, pick a better business. Pick a great business. For those of you that don't know, I owned a wholesale bakery. Well, that meant that we truly ran 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right? And you're like,
John, you didn't work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
No, Sally, but my business did, which meant that if bakers weren't baking, drivers were driving. It was a constant. Somebody was always working at the business, which meant my phone could ring at any given time, 7 days a week. I truly, truly was off New Year's and Christmas. The only 2 days that I could actually go to bed and know that I could not get any phone calls from anyone. That beat the living daylights out of me. But listen, the bakery, wholesale bakery, did me well and did my family well. Financially, we came out pretty good. That being said, for the amount of hours I put into that business, I probably could have done any business and made just as much, if not way more, with less effort. Take, for example, the ice cream store. The ice cream store that we owned did 10 times less, 20 times less revenue, a lot less revenue. But profit-wise, percentage-wise, dollar for dollar, the ice cream store was probably more profitable than the bakery. You know, and that was only seasonal, but I learned that the next business I go into, I want it to be a good business. I want it to be a great business. I want it to be a high profit. And I learned that what you go into, what you think about, business-wise matters. If you're a tradesman or you do some sort of specific thing and you're good at it, then, you know, go into it. Plumbing, electrical, whatever it is. So go into those businesses. But if you were like me, I didn't really have any specific trade in mind. I was just a business-minded person. And the bakery intrigued me because I was driving a bread truck to get myself through school. What I should have done was really thought about that hard and say, if you're going to put all your life and soul into this business, the amount of hours and the effort you're going to do, because listen, I'm a hard worker. So I could have chosen a better business and probably been much more successful with a lot less work, right? Because I was going to work my ass off no matter what, but I could have probably made a lot more money with a lot less effort in a better business, period. So you're saying to yourself, well, I guess, John, that you would say you would never own a wholesale bread bakery. Yeah, Sally, that's what I'm saying. Pretty happy I sold it. Took a lot of years off my life. But yeah, I would choose a better business. Period. The end. And again, that's a big reason why I'm doing this today. Because I think online, I think YouTube, I think social media, I think all those things have a big return if you put the hours in. I have no problem putting the hours in. So I think at the end of the day, if this takes off, I think I can make money not doing as much work. Plus, I love doing it, right? So I think that's great. Number 5. Concentrate on your core thing. This is a huge lesson. Being all things to all people is not a great business model, okay? Some of you, if you followed me, know that I had a restaurant at one point. It was kind of tied into the bakery. The restaurant was a medium-end restaurant, white tablecloth. We also had a cafe, lower-end, panini style, and we had a coffee house, and we had a bakery, all in the same building. It confused the living out of people when they came. It was called the Harvest House, and people, are we dressing up? Are we going out for high-end food? Are we having just a coffee and a talk? Are we getting a scone and coffee? I don't understand. What are we doing when we go to the Harvest House? That was a problem. That was my fault. It was very confusing. When me and my wife decided to do an ice cream store years later, I knew that focusing on an ice cream store, because listen, hey, you have a building and it's a food establishment, you could do anything. I could have put anything in there. We wanted it to be an ice cream store, so we focused on ice cream. The sign gigantically said ice cream store, creamery. We did sell other things and it was ancillary, but the biggest thing was focusing on the ice cream store. And focusing on your core thing is super important. Don't be everything to everybody. Yes, Jeff Bezos sells everything to everybody. But if you remember, Jeff also started very niche. We'll say niche. He only sold used books. Everybody forgets that. The man sold not only books, but used books. Okay? So, you know, he was super, super niche. And then as he got a great following, then he sold other things. And very similar to the ice cream store, you know, over the years, we started selling candy apples, which were a tremendous thing. We sold chocolates, you know, so we sold other things, but the focus of the store was an ice cream, and that did us very well. And listen, we did very well selling the store. We were able to sell at a top dollar to some great people, and they're gonna be very successful at it because we niched down. It's kind of like a theme on this one, and we went after the core, and we didn't confuse people. Number 6, sell at the top. Okay, I was very fortunate that when I got diagnosed for cancer, that both of my businesses were doing very well, extremely well. So when I decided to sell them, I kind of got pushed into selling them at a very, two things, very great time economically, and very good time as far as the businesses were, I would say, at top of their game. So that is a lesson I learned from my dad. My dad was not around long enough for me to learn a lot of life and business lessons from him. It's very unfortunate. He passed away, he was 49, I was 23, and I learned a lot from my dad in that short period of time, but the one thing I did learn was selling at the top. And how I learned that is because my mom and dad had a very successful Northern Italian restaurant, right? That was back in the 80s, was the main time that the restaurant was thriving. So in the 80s, you know, greed is good, all that stuff, people, money was very similar to today. Well, not today, because today things are, but a year ago, money was flowing and people were just spending money. And people were looking for higher end restaurants to go to eat. And my mom and dad's restaurant was up a higher-end white tablecloth restaurant. My dad did extraordinary things with food, and people came for that, right? Because my dad did, you know, it wasn't the typical Italian restaurant. My dad did crazy things, frog rod, frog's legs, and polenta when nobody knew what it meant. Just great things. So people would come from all over. And during that time, you know, a lot of business people came, and finance people came to eat at my mom and dad's restaurant, and they became friendly with my dad. And they had said, you know what, Ezio, you could probably sell this aisle. We have people that are interested. Because back then, people with money, very similar to today, everybody wants to be in the restaurant business. High-end people, people with a lot of money, oh, I own a restaurant. That's a mistake. But my dad laughed, because in my dad's head, he's like, what else would I do? This is, of course, what I'm going to do. Several years later, the restaurant had a down cycle, and my dad was tired. He was exhausted. He actually thought about selling, and he called those same people back, those same brokers and finance guys, and they're like, Ezio, you know, there's nothing to sell here. The economy changed. My dad's numbers changed. If you're thinking of selling your business, I don't know the answer to you. It's individual choices, right? I should have, and I'm glad I did sell my two businesses. But if you're gonna sell, or if you're thinking of selling, selling at the top is, you know, do Seinfeld. If any of you don't know Seinfeld, if you're young chickie, go Google Seinfeld. Seinfeld went out on the top. That TV show was doing phenomenal, and they said, listen, we're going to stop it. You know, we're at the top of our game, and I want to go out like the kings that we are, and I don't want to drive it into the ground. And my suggestion, and I use this suggestion, is go out on top. Number seven, you have to decide to sell.
John, what are you talking about? How stupid. Of course you have to decide to sell if you're going to sell.
Well, Sally and George, and I see you in the back there, Pete. I see you. No. It's not as obvious as it sounds, okay? Because, I don't know about you, but for years, I said, I gotta sell this thing. This is killing me. I can't do it anymore. If we had a bad summer, or if we had a bad week, or if I had a driver that didn't show up, or if I had a scooper that didn't come in, or a manager, we gotta sell. This is too much. So we say in the business a lot that we gotta sell. And you really have to come to an oh Jesus moment and say, no, and this is what I came to, no, I'm actually going to sell. And you have to make that decision. Once I made that decision, I said, no matter what, John, I'm either going to shut the doors or I'm going to sell. After that day, I did everything in my power, phoned every prospective buyer, called brokers, called business people, and I got it sold, both the bakery and the ice cream store. I was a man on a mission. You know, it sounds easy to make the decision to sell. My wife had a tougher time coming to terms with selling the ice cream store. It was the right decision for us at the time. But she had a tougher time coming to that decision. And you may, if you're thinking of selling your business, you may too. You're going to go back and forth. And it is not right for everyone. It's a decision you have to make. But if you truly want to sell your business, if you actually want to get it sold, you have to decide to sell it. There is no angel going to fly in and say, oh, Bob, I'd like to buy your business. I'm going to give you millions of dollars. No, that is a one in a gazillion unicorn that really doesn't happen. And sure, I'm sure you can find YouTubes and different people that happened to because they had a certain niche business and Amazon wanted to buy it or Google wanted to buy it. And I'm sure it happens. For the basic Tom, Bob, Joe, John, that's not going to happen. So you basically need to make that decision and go full force. Full force? Full force, okay? So you have to come to that decision and you have to say, I'm actually gonna get it done. And once I did that, there was no stopping me. And no, obviously, I sold the business. Number eight. Did you see that? It's a five and a three, it's eight. Number eight, use an attorney that specializes in selling businesses. For those of you that don't know me, I'm a thrifty person. Some people would say cheap, I say thrifty. That being said, I don't like paying for things I don't have to, especially attorneys that are high priced. Don't love it. I asked around to several of my good friends and I found a firm through a friend that specializes in selling businesses, mergers and acquisition. Their hourly rate was ridiculous. I thought I way overpaid. The gentleman that bought my business laughed at me for how much I spent, which was way over $20,000. But I'm here to tell you, even though I was aggravated at myself, best money I spent. Best money I spent. And here's why. If you're doing a basic contract, which is kind of like what we did with the ice cream store, you can use a general attorney. Straightforward, no earnout, you know, buying assets, so on and so forth. If you do an earnout, which I did for the bakery, because the bakery was bigger numbers, I mean, it was not easy to sell. I basically had to convince people to even look at it because, listen, as a bakery, we were too big for a small bakery to buy us, and we were too small for a big bakery to buy us. We were in a very weird place. So only certain people looked at us, and I needed to make it attractive to those people that purchased us. So I did what's called an earnout. I said, listen, give me X amount of dollars up front. So you're basically paying for assets. And then if we hit these numbers that I know we'll hit as long as you do what I did, right? Then there's no problem. You'll make the money you're supposed to make, and I'll earn out the money I'm supposed to earn out, and it's great. So, you know, it was attractive, and we signed on that deal because there was no way for that person to lose. Because if we hit the numbers, they paid me. If we didn't hit the numbers, they didn't pay me. So my attorneys drove us both nuts, dotting I's, crossing T's, and we closed the deal. Thank God. Now, fast forward, the deal went bad almost immediately because the gentleman that bought my company figured he could do whatever he wanted with my company. I told him, you can't do that. God bless you. If you want to give me the money all up front, you could do whatever you want with the company. But if it's an earnout, which it was, you can't destroy my company right away. He wanted to do certain things. He didn't like how I did things, which is, again, great. But we were specifically a bakery that concentrated on small customers. And he didn't like that fact. He wanted to get rid of certain things and so on and so forth. It went bad fast. Now, the way I made my money was servicing all these people. So the fact that he didn't want to do that and he didn't want to hit the revenue numbers that I was hitting affected how much I was going to get paid. Long story short, we pushed the fact. We threatened to sue. We actually filed suit papers with the court system, and he realized from his attorney that we had an ironclad contract, that my guys did their job, and they did it well. He would have spent thousands of dollars on attorney's fees, and I would have got my money anyway. So he realized we settled, and I basically got very close to what I was supposed to get. And all that was because I chose the right attorneys for selling my business. I was very happy at the end. Not so happy in the beginning, but very happy in the end because I spent a lot of money and it worked out. My suggestion is spend the money on great attorneys that do this all the time. Again, for the ice cream store, I didn't do that, but the ice cream store was a much easier process. It was a more straightforward sale. You're getting this, you give us that. There was no earnout. All the money was up front. It was very, very much simple. Number 9, to get top dollar, make sure your books are in order. Now again, another one that seems duh, but so many businesses. And listen, I told you I owned a wholesale bakery. So we dealt with hundreds of small business owners, restaurants, delis, supermarkets, food service, you name it, we dealt with. Hot dog stands, boardwalk, we dealt with them all. And I'm gonna say the majority of small business owners do not keep good books. Listen, a lot of it is because they do that strategically. They're like, well, if the government doesn't find my books, I can't get, you know. So here's the reality. First of all, the government is pretty smart. They can back out, you know, how much you're making by your what you're buying, so on and so forth. You need to keep good books. The reason that we did so well on the sale of the ice cream store, we got top dollar, or pretty close to top dollar on that store, is because it warranted it. We had the books that showed it. We not only had the books, but, you know, we were very organized. Our inventory lists, the year before we sold, I installed a POS, which it cost money, right? But it allowed the new owners to come in and operate seamlessly from us. If there was no POS, it probably would have been harder. And I think they might have thought twice about buying the business because these particular people, you know, they didn't want to run a business day to day. They wanted it to run itself. And that's basically what we created. And we did that by keeping good books, having processes installed, and by having, like, you know, the POS system and different factors that made it easy to run every day. So I learned that having good books, which the bakery, believe it or not, had good books, but I spent almost a year putting the books together, getting them clean, as far as I had everywhere. I had different businesses going through the bakery books instead of being separated out. And I knew that was going to be a problem. So we spent a good year cleaning up the books of the bakery before we sold it. The ice cream store was straightforward. I did a much better job doing and keeping books on that other than the bakery. But both had to get straightened out, cleaned up. And that's what buyers look for. They want to come in and they want to know that they are buying a great business. It's in order and they're going to be successful doing it. We had multiple buyers and brokers tell us that our books and how we kept things for the ice cream store was outstanding. And it was much easier for them to show their clients, you know, what we did. Because most people have it on the back of a napkin or on a, you know, an Excel spreadsheet, which we did too. But, you know, I mean, just basic numbers, sales, expenses. I mean, we had everything broken down. So keeping great books will allow you to get top dollar. Because if not, people are going to be wary. They're going to be like, how do I know you're actually doing these numbers? So it's important and served us well by having great books. Number 10, be flexible, right? And don't make it personal. That is much easier to say than do. You know, so I did exactly this. I got offended multiple times in both sales. I made it personal. And then I backed off and said, well, first of all, I had no choice. I had to sell. And that helped me a lot. Knowing the end result I had to get these things sold put a perspective on me that, listen, you know, people are only trying to do the best for them. So if you're asking X and they offer Z, you know, it's not personal. They're just trying to get the best deal they can. Well, go in with an open mind, go in knowing that, go in not thinking it's personal, and negotiate. It's all the game, right? It's a game. And at the end of the day, in both situations, we negotiated something that both sides were, let's say, okay with. We weren't super happy, they weren't super happy, and that normally makes a great deal. When both parties aren't super happy, it makes a perfect deal. If one side is way more excited than the other, it's probably not going to work out. And getting a business to the finish line of the signing of the papers is hard enough. So if one side is feeling super happy and the other isn't, the chances of you actually getting down to the signing of those papers is going to be slim to none. Okay? So don't take it personal. Keep an open mind, which is what I did. And we got to the finish line in both businesses. And, you know, I'm super, super ecstatic that I did. I am super happy that I sold both businesses. I am super excited for the future. So we will see you.
There you have it, listeners. The 10 things John learned from selling his businesses. To go over them quickly, they were: 1, I'm not a retiring kind of guy. 2, there is never enough money. 3, learning to relax. 4, be in a better business. 5, concentrate on your core thing. 6, sell at the top. 7, you have to decide to sell. 8, use an attorney that specializes in selling businesses. 9, to get top dollar, have all your books in order. And 10, be flexible and don't make it personal. I hope they provided you with information that will help you if or when you decide to sell your business. If you'd like more information about this show, or for that matter, any past Score Business Point show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If there's any topic you'd like to hear discussed on Score Business Points, or you have a comment about this show or any past show, you may email me at the same address, sbp@wbnj.org. As you may be aware, Score provides free business mentoring and education to the small business owner or potential small business owner. The education takes the form of webinars or in-person seminars. The Southeast chapter of Score holds these webinars and in-person seminars throughout the year at various locations in Ocean, Atlantic, and Cape May counties. To learn more about what webinars or in-person seminars are being held, go to score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj and click on Local Workshops in the top navigation. Once there, you can click on any of the webinars or in-person seminars listed to learn more about it and how to register. That's all the time I have for today. Tune in next week for more Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then. For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000 plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit score.org/SoutheastNJ. That's score.org/SoutheastNJ. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at WBNJ.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast chapter of SCORE and 91.9 WBNJ.